Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, at the time of release, the UK is in lockdown, but you'll notice that Luke is actually in this video, and that's because this was recorded before the lockdown actually happened. So do not worry, we are following the government advice, and so should you. This episode was brought to you by our patrons at Patreon.
Yes,
you,
it was.
It was, yeah. Yes, if you'd like to have a hand in choosing our episode topics and also get access to bonus episodes and other extra content, then head over to patreon.com/SciGuys.
Do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Burtford. Hello. This week, we'll be talking about long lives and cheating death.
Long lives and cheating death.
Yes.
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 What?
Yes.
Is this about Jeff Bezos?
No.
Jeff Bezos?
What's Jeff Bezos?
He's trying to fund like tech incubators in America that will try and extend lives to so you can live forever.
Oh, well, it might come up then.
Yeah.
It might.
Yeah.
So immortality is something we've been chasing since we realized that death is a little bit scary. And
not me.
Yeah.
I'm quite excited for it.
Oh dear!
Not in the no.
Just, oh Lord!
Not in a sad way.
Luke,
anymore.
Do you need some help?
No, no. And like, well, that'd be exciting, won't it? Like, if I.
It's not like a roller coaster. Like, ooh.
Well, I mean, if you're going to die, you may as well be excited about it.
You
That's
are
what I
going
mean.
To die.
Yeah, sure. So I may as well be excited about it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gory,
yeah.
for proving my point.
It may seem like something from science fiction, but for humans, immortality might become a reality.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun.
Well, is there a different word for immortality and like prolonging life indefinitely, except for like if you get hit by a car or something?
I think being immortal kind of, I mean, like, come on, like you can be immortal and
still
get hit by a car.
Prolongs life, I'd assume.
Yeah, I just,
well,
what
the
I mean
thing
is
that like ultimately, if they're self-driving cars, then you probably won't be hit by a car. It'd be very hard to be hit by a car if it's self-driving.
That's true.
What if it turns evil?
In Terminator,
yes.
But instead of like a,
I don't think any cars turned evil in Terminator.
Man, it's like a, just an angry car.
What I'm getting at there,
Skynet.
Beep beep.
I'll be back.
What I'm,
beep, beep,
what I'm getting.
Beep beep.
What I'm getting at.
What you're getting at is.
What I'm getting at there is that if we eventually create a world where...
We've already created a world.
No, we didn't create it.
We live in a world.
If we eventually end up in a world where dying is not a normal thing, death becomes just even more scary, exponentially more scary as less people die. You're more scared of dying.
Or maybe it becomes something that only cool people do. Like rich people are like...
It would.
Yeah,
like,
I can die.
Dying is so retro.
Oh, you think we'll reach a point in the future where it's like difficult to die?
Yeah, it's so hard to die. Like you know, you've got people doing extreme sports, and the point of extreme
imagine.
Sports isn't like,
please.
Oh man, it's so easy to die. It's like,
imagine.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
Walk off this mortal coil.
You throw yourself off a cliff, and instantly you're healed.
It's just a safety net.
Yeah, it just appears. So before we get into immortality, why don't we talk about death? Namely, the causes of death. What do you think the top 10 main causes of death are?
Heart disease.
Obesity.
Cancer.
Okay, well, close. Oh. Obesity feeds into it, and heart disease is number one, yeah. So,
hell yeah.
Really?
I win.
Oh, wow.
Ischemic. I don't know how to pronounce it. I should look these things up, but I just don't. Heart disease was the number one cause of death globally in 2016. And then you've got stroke, pulmonary disease, lower respiratory infections, Alzheimer's, and other dementia, trachea, bronchus, and lung cancers, diabetes, road injury, diarrheal diseases, and then tuberculosis.
Diarrheal.
Yeah, but those are the those were the main causes of death in 2016. Of the 56.9 million deaths worldwide,
blimey,
more than half were due to the top 10 causes.
Hang on, 56.9 million deaths. That's not many at all.
No.
That's not a lot of deaths.
No. It's not a lot of deaths. Well, I suppose, actually, that makes sense, because if you were having billions of deaths, you'd have to have, like,
billions of births.
Yes.
And,
how many people are born a year? More than that.
I'm just surprised, that's all.
You'd think it would be more, wouldn't it?
Yes.
If you go onto Worldometer, you can see how many births are happening right now and how many deaths are happening right now.
Oh, God, no, I hate watching it.
So far today, there have been 140,278 deaths.
I wonder if that is adjusted for the coronavirus.
I think it's average.
Yes.
Oh, the seasonal flu counter is now part of the health section.
Whoa! Good work.
Yeah. Oh, but if you look at the population growth, it keeps on flickering as in it goes up.
Oh, yeah. And someone dies. Someone dies.
Up and
That's not. Oh, wait, there it is.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's very cool.
All right. So it's like two deaths a second.
Yeah, that's not
bad. Wow.
That's not bad.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, rest in peace. Rest in peace.
Don't rest in peace.
Whoa.
That was a bad guy.
Man, that's rude.
That's a bad guy.
No one's bad in death.
He just killed
Corey.
The other two people.
Death is the...
Wow.
Yeah, so heart disease and stroke are the world's biggest killers, and those accounted for about 15 million deaths in 2016, which is...
Lord.
It's a lot of people dying from heart disease and stroke.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those two have been the leading causes for, had been the leading causes since 2001, and likely still are.
That must have been a point in time when the cause of death most that year was like war.
Yeah.
You think?
During the World War. During the war.
Sure. Yeah.
Probably the 40s.
No, during World War I it would have been.
Really?
Well, far fewer people. Oh, wait, no.
I guess so.
Well, it depends if you count like...
less people.
It depends if you count the Holocaust as being a death and a war.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I think that's part of the war, Corey.
All I mean is that there's people dying in battle.
Yes.
And people dying because Hitler's a bad man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. But then that changes depending on your income level. So more than half the deaths in low-income countries were caused by communicable diseases, maternal causes, and conditions arising during pregnancy and childbirth.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Half of them?
Yeah, more than half, which is ridiculous. And then less than 7% of deaths in high-income countries. Why do you even say companies? Less than 7% of the deaths in high-income countries were caused by those same causes.
Wow.
So money stops you from dying.
Oh,
who knew?
Of course it does.
Yeah, it literally does, yeah.
Because I know rich people are dying of coronavirus yet.
No,
by the way,
rich people are dying from it, which is why they're scared of it.
Yeah. Sure. By the way, our health minister has the coronavirus. The person in charge of health in our country.
What better way to study the coronavirus?
By staying at home.
Hands-on approach.
She felt ill on Friday and she went out and met with 50 constituents on Saturday and then got diagnosed on Sunday.
Wow, so she may have also, as health minister, passed the coronavirus on to 50 constituents.
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Good health ministering, man. Woman.
Oh, dear Lord. You know, when this comes out, by the time this is out, the UK is probably going to be in lockdown.
Probably.
Yeah.
Can't get single-handedly. This podcast out of the UK.
That is true. We fly it on USB sticks.
No one will take it on the plane. Sorry, America.
So yeah, non-communicable diseases, or NCDs, caused 71% of the deaths globally, ranging from 37% in low-income countries and up to 88% in high-income countries. So effectively, if you can spread a disease between people, it's more likely to spread in a low-income country than in a high-income country. And if it's just something you get yourself and keep yourself, it's going to be in a high-income country.
That's a treat.
Just like money. Yeah, but 7 to 8% of global non-communicable disease deaths occurred in low and middle-income countries. So I think that's mostly because more people die.
Yes.
Well, no, hold on. Yeah, a lot of people die in those countries.
I'd say so, yes.
Yeah, probably. I mean, a lot of people die everywhere. That's kind of what people do. It's the thing we're best at.
Yes.
Name one person you know that didn't die.
Me.
Well, all the people are like
in the future.
Oh, in the future.
Didn't die, past tense. In the future, future tense.
So what point
good
in
work,
the future?
Scientist.
Scientist, not a wordsmith.
I didn't die.
Name one person you know that isn't going to die.
Well, I don't know. You're going to tell us how we're going to create immortality.
You're right.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's
David Attenborough's not going to die.
No, he definitely is.
Everyone definitely is. That's the
no, because we're
I don't want
doing...
David Attenborough to die.
Well, tough shit, man.
Grow up.
I'm personally going to take him out. Is what that sounds like.
For a lovely meal, surely, Luke.
Take him out for a lovely meal, yes.
And then kill him.
It's been nice meeting you, David.
Are we just leaving in the bit where I threaten to kill
David Attenborough? Yes.
What?
That is not going to age well.
No. What if he gets murdered and no one knows who murdered him? And we're like, well.
And then I'm sitting.
We dug up a podcast.
Sitting in court. Explain this then, Mr. Cuthbert.
So, obviously, to be immortal, we need to stop death.
This is true.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This message is true.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
We need to find death first, then. Tie him up.
Give him a good spanking.
Stop it!
Stop it!
Stop it!
Yeah, tickle him. Tickle death.
Yeah, so we want to stop death, don't we?
Well, I don't.
Well, okay.
Some people do.
If we want to be immortal, then we want to stop death.
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
Can we all agree on that?
Yes.
Good. So what leads to death primarily is aging. So a lot of these things are caused by aging.
So
would you agree?
We all need to become jellyfish because there's that type of jellyfish that doesn't age.
I love it when you spoil things.
Yeah!
I did again!
Woo!
You shouldn't be happy about that. It's bad. It's bad for the structure of my podcast.
Your podcast? Wow, we can see how gory things of this
imagine
show.
Imagine spending a week planning something so meticulously, planning a whole episode, a story, if you will, from beginning to end, and someone goes, oh, wait, no, jellyfish.
By my podcast, I mean my episode that I planned meticulously.
Doesn't matter, man. It's what's said is said.
So do either of you know any of the hallmarks of aging?
Wrinkly skin.
I said, why did I say wrinklies?
Wrinklies.
The biological hallmarks of aging. Not just looking at someone and thinking.
Damaged DNA.
Shorter telomeres.
Okay, yeah, both those are right.
That. He said it more intellectually than I did.
Well, they're actually the same answer.
Yeah. Well... no, they're not the same answer.
Okay.
There's actually two. So,
okay, yeah, because telomeres are the things at the end of DNA that when it's like the spare junk so that you can, that can get damaged without the main bit getting damaged. And what James said, damaged DNA would be like when your DNA has mutated away from the original DNA you're based on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty spot on. So there are 9 hallmarks of,
is one of them wrinkly skin?
No.
Okay.
Wrinkly skin is caused by...
lower collagen levels.
No.
That is what causes wrinkly skin.
Is it?
Yeah.
But what causes low collagen levels?
Aging.
I really hate you.
Sound damage.
No, I'm finding it really difficult to continue.
Exposure to radiation. I'm trying, man.
Getting too much sun.
You get to research stuff. I just have to make things up.
Why don't I tell you what the hallmarks of aging are?
Yes, please. Go on then.
Okay, so you've got telomere shortening.
Yeah.
DNA damage, as you said.
As I've said.
Gene expression errors.
What's that? How is that different to DNA damage?
So I'll go into all of them.
Oh, is that in the next thing? Is that in the next thing above DNA?
No, so it's like a circle. So this is what it looks like.
Oh, no, no. Is that is the gene expression errors, is that with the, what's that layer on top of DNA called?
Oh, epigenetics.
Epigenetics. Is it that?
Yes, effectively.
Cool.
I'll go into what all of them are,
all right.
But I'll run through them. So gene expression errors, proteins becoming less functional, cells not dying when they're supposed to.
Cancer.
Ah, cancer.
Or not cancer, but but cancer still, tumors. But not cancer. Tumors. Tumors. Thank you, James.
Cancer, but cancers, not cancer.
But not cancerous type.
Yes.
Yes.
All I could think of was like pantomimes, like cancer. Oh, no, it isn't. mitochondrial malfunction.
Mm.
Inefficient cell communication.
Mm.
Metabolism imbalance. Stem cell exhaustion. Ooh. And that's them all.
Ah,
yeah. That's all of them.
That's all
so
of them.
So any one of them could get you.
Well, yeah. So that's the thing.
They'll probably all get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's figuring out how they all work together to make you old and wrinkly and disgusting.
Yuck.
Yeah.
Absolutely feral.
Yeah. Old people. Blah.
It's strange because like the idea of aging in itself, like it shouldn't really have to exist, surely, because we regenerate our bodies from scratch every 7 years.
Well, we don't really do it from scratch. That's the point.
Well, no, but what I mean is like a female can make a young fetus, right? Can make a new, fresh baby.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, it could make itself better too. It just doesn't because it's not necessarily been selected for in the gene pool to be immortal. Because it's in other ways, dying and birth is like beneficial in other ways to the gene pool, I assume.
Well, yes and no. The issue is that so creating a baby isn't the same as regenerating, because for one thing, your DNA gets damaged constantly. So whenever you replicate your DNA, which happens whenever you make a new cell. Which happens all the time. Like, you're making new skin cells all the time, making new cells all over your body all the time. Every single time that happens, your DNA gets just maybe a little bit damaged.
Mm.
It could be a little mutation here, a little bit missing there. All of that can happen. So fixing that is kind of difficult. Mm. I mean, you've got basically genes that produce proteins that fix DNA, and that works. And then it stops working because you're getting old, and right. That's what aging is. So fixing DNA and just making a new thing are two kind of completely different processes, because ultimately making a baby is like joining your DNA with your partner's DNA,
right.
And then
making a fresh thing.
Making a fresh one, you know?
Fresh batch.
It's like the difference between baking a loaf of bread and trying to make a loaf of bread from stuff that you've already chewed.
Oh, what a strange idea.
Yeah, what
someone
an odd
should do
idea.
A video about that.
No one should ever do a video about that.
You're right. Let's not talk about this ever again.
So when DNA replicates, it might not always copy correctly, like I said. So that means that in older tissue, a lot of cells have got more damage because they've been replicating. They've been replicated a lot of times from the first cell in your body.
Mm.
So DNA damage leads to aging, effectively. Then you've got gene expression errors, which is all of your body cells have got all of your DNA in them. Mm-hmm. So every single cell, even though it's got all the same instructions, still becomes a different kind of cell. So a brain cell and a skin cell are totally different, even though they've got the same instructions. That's because of epigenetics, which basically means that there are other parts of your DNA that effectively decide which instructions are going to be read.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which kind of cells you're going to turn into. So that there's basically some genes are turned on, some genes are turned off. And when you age, what happens is the wrong bits get turned on and the wrong bits get turned off. And that's what leads to cancer. So cancer could be started by effectively a gene being turned on for replicating your cells when you shouldn't. And that will then cause cells to replicate when they shouldn't and cause cancer.
Or by not activating a gene that tells it when to die.
That's it, yeah.
Yes.
That's actually it.
Yeah.
So gene expression, like, just so that anyone who doesn't know about this has like another level of understanding of this, is also the thing that different experiences in your life cause genes to be activated or not activated. Is that correct? And that's how like we're starting to understand how like things that you go through could then change the way that your babies are made, because you have different expressions of your genome turned on or off that you pass down to your children. So it's not just based on the genetics you have, which are like solid and certain. It's also based on the experiences you've had, things that have happened to you, which have caused different genes to be turned on and off in the epigenetic level.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, which is why twins can be identical twins, can grow up
different,
to be less identical.
Wow. Cool. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they're still identical twins. I just mean, like, what are
less identical.
Yeah, what are they being, like, less identical because of whatever reason. Some genes get turned on, some genes get turned off. Otherwise, they would be exactly the same and have all of the same diseases at the exact same time.
That's true.
Which they tend not to, because that would be weird.
Most of the time.
Yeah, so on top of that, there is telomere shortening. And this is, like, the kind of the biggest part that people tend to know about. Because, like Luke said, telomeres are, like, these little kind of ends to your DNA. People sometimes talk about them like they're aglets on the end of shoelaces that stop shoelaces from getting frayed.
Ah, oh, cool.
Yeah. It's, like, it's a nice way to think about it. So every single time that your DNA replicates, effectively, what happens is a little bit of the telomere gets chopped off, just the end. So if that was to happen to your DNA, it'd be an issue because you'd start getting genes stopped there. If that was to happen to, like, you know, the actual part of your DNA, that would be an issue because you'd get genes chopped off and you could lose...
Like your head. You could lose your head.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your ear could just fall off.
That's exactly what would happen.
Yes.
The head gene.
Oh, no. Flop.
Oh, no.
Effectively, if you stop the telomeres from being, like, reduced and leaving, effectively, you can... well, if you stop the telomeres from being damaged, you can kind of... reverse aging. What they've noticed in mice is that mice with shorter telomeres have shorter lifespans and have lower organ function, which basically means that if you've got shorter telomeres, your life isn't going to be as long or as good.
It might be good, Corey. Might be a perfectly health-wise, good life.
Health-wise, I mean.
Well, you might have a very long, unhealthy life with long telomeres. I'm just saying.
I've got a really long telomere.
But I've had a dreadful life.
I'm hung.
So telomerase is what kind of builds up your telomeres. It's a protein, a little enzyme that basically adds on the telomeres whenever they get chopped off. Mm. So if you have that not working properly, that also leads to organ dysfunction at actually a higher risk of cancer. And also, stress can affect that. So you can have stress-induced DNA damage. So we don't necessarily fully understand it yet, but telomeres are really sensitive to stress, so more so than the rest of the genome. So if you're really stressed, it can shorten your telomeres, which is probably one of the reasons that high stress shortens your life.
Yeah, I imagine that's because like part of the explanation I've heard before about this is like if you are being chased by a lion, then there's no point in doing something like to do anything for your long-term health. Your brain and your body are going to put all resources into getting away from the lion. And we now in our fairly unnatural life, separated from nature, and with all sorts of like artificial stresses that aren't really real and our brains aren't evolved to deal with, have overactive amygdalas, which cause stress, like fight or flight responses in us. And so a large proportion of the population who have like anxiety or depression are basically like in being chased by a lion mode, and their body's like, well, there's no point doing anything to fix my body. I'm being chased by a lion, and the lion isn't real, and the lion's in your head.
Lion is life.
Yeah. And so that's probably part of it. It's like if the body is producing proteins to shorten the telomeres, it's not going to do that when it thinks it's being chased by a lion.
Yeah. It's not telomeres. Length is the telomeres.
Yes, sorry. If your body's producing proteins to lengthen the telomeres, it's not going to put many resources into creating that protein if it thinks you're being chased by a lion.
Yeah, exactly.
Metaphorically speaking,
that's actually a thing that they've noticed.
Interesting.
So stress doesn't just refer to like emotional stress. It's also stress in terms of
like physical stress.
Yeah, like carcinogens. Let's say
right.
Yeah. So the reason they think that might happen is because if there's carcinogens, say affecting a cell and affecting its DNA, telomeres could be kind of a canary in the mineshaft, saying, "Ooh, there's cancer here. Why don't we just die? just kill this cell, and you'll probably be fine." You know. So if the telomeres shorten and the cell that is being exposed to, say, the carcinogen dies, it's unlikely to spread that kind of cancer to other cells, which is kind of a good idea, but also it means that like aging is a thing that happens. Because obviously, if your telomeres never shortened, that'd be one less thing to make you age, because your DNA wouldn't be, you know, chopped up every single time that your cells replicated.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So your proteins becoming less functional is another reason. So basically, your body's constantly producing proteins all the time. Saliva, it's got proteins in it. Your stomach acid, your stomach, you produce proteins in there. You produce proteins literally everywhere all the time for lots of different things. Yeah. So obviously, the more you produce proteins, sometimes it could become a little less good at producing proteins and they have problems with them. So, so effectively, as your body ages, you get less good at getting rid of the old proteins. So they tend to build up, and that's what causes dementia and Alzheimer's. A buildup of proteins, specifically for Alzheimer's, it is beta amyloid.
I was about to say that. But I thought I was wrong.
Actually?
Yeah,
no, you're right.
Because my granny has dementia.
Where's that? So where's that produced?
I think, well, it builds up in the brain, surely.
Don't know.
Yeah. Don't know.
Fair enough.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Somewhere. Okay, so yeah, as cells undergo more stress and become more damaged, they stop dividing and then basically don't die. So those cells could be called zombie cells or senescent cells. And effectively, what can happen is that can spread to other cells in the body. So if they start to build up with time and age, then that could cause the effects of aging.
So you get more zombie cells.
Yeah.
Like Gila.
Gila?
No.
Well, kind of.
Okay.
Kind of like Gila.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah, so the thing with zombie cells is that they can infect other cells around them.
How?
I'm not exactly sure of the process how, but they... It's something that
is it like peer pressure?
Yes.
The old cells are like, hey man,
oh man, that's
how about you just don't die, man?
You look like a
be crazy.
Boring old loser cell.
Don't listen to that body
join
thing.
The zombies.
Yeah. So what happens is if you inject senescent cells or zombie cells into young mice, it's like they start to prematurely age. So they can have like debilitating and inflammatory effects, which just screws with their health.
This is another one of those times where I hate science. Little baby mice are being injected with cut off parts of old mice.
Well, not cut off, but cells.
Yeah, that's a part.
Yeah, but it's not like it's cut off. It's
not
probably
like, you hacked
like
it off. Like,
yeah, it's not like it's a leg. You know,
imagine just like injecting a leg into a mouse.
There you go.
Explodes.
Yeah, I just don't like that. It's not very nice.
What, like,
hey, let's make these young babies die quicker.
Prematurely aging little baby mice.
Horrible. Horrible.
Old people and babies are
we
effectively
better hope
the same
that
thing.
No aliens they do look very find similar. Us. Because we have treated everything else so badly, and we absolutely deserve to be treated badly by the aliens.
It's like finding out that spiders like experiment on flies or
something.
Yeah.
You know?
It's
yeah.
Like, well, now I feel good about squatting you.
Like, I was thinking the other day,
spiders.
If NASA came along and were like, we found this alien race where what they do is they melt down the bones of other aliens and they feed that to their children mixed with sugar. We'd be like, that's really messed up. And then they go, just kidding, that's Haribo.
Yeah.
And it's us.
Yeah.
What? Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of sci-fi alien stories is just aliens treating us the way we've either treated other humans or animals.
Or animals.
Yeah.
Which is just, maybe we should stop doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe like colonialism is a bad thing.
You think?
Yeah, I don't know.
I've considered it. I think it's quite bad.
I was watching War of the Worlds the other day, and I was like, maybe it's not good.
Watch out, Corey. The Queen might be listening.
She probably can't hear anything. She's so old.
That's not very nice. She's still a little old lady.
She's the Queen. She's like the richest woman in Britain.
Talk
I think
aging.
She can take it.
I think she can take things personally, just because she's really rich.
I don't think she could.
Don't care.
I think she's a little snowflake.
Philip, Corey said something mean about me on Sci-Guys.
On Sci-Guys podcast.
Did he?
Philip.
That's horrible. Corey, just get him out.
We did an episode about Adrian. Well, I look like shit. Philip's actually 25, but he's had some zombie cells injected into him.
You're just thinking of Will's hairline.
You know about Will's hairline, right? Justin Bieber once did an interview where he recommended that Prince William start taking hairline medication. It's just this really strange corner of the internet I once found where Justin Bieber's giving like hairline advice to Prince William. It's really strange.
Wait, how old was Justin Bieber at this point?
Oh, like 20, but I'm sure he's on all the drugs to make him stay like a little tweeny little boy.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he is.
100%.
Look at him. He's a perfect little specimen. A
little twink, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
But Justin Bieber or?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Prince William. Look at that. Both of them. Beautiful little twink.
Oh, no.
That's what I call a twink anyway. Don't know what you guys think it means. When I think twink, I think Prince
That's
William.
That's my type on paper.
Moving on. An imbalanced metabolism.
Oh, yeah. We're doing an episode of Zeitgeist.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? So mitochondrial malfunction is another cause of aging. Basically, the mitochondria are...
the powerhouse of the cell.
Bingo.
That is true.
Yes.
That is factual. So mitochondria produce energy in cells, and what they do is they take oxygen and they take food, which is glucose, and they say, here is energy.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very nice. It's,
have a gift.
Yeah, and from that they make carbon dioxide and water. So good for them. Trucking away, keeping us from dying.
Bonus.
Yeah, but as they age, they just become inefficient and dysfunctional. And when they don't function properly, they can produce an altered form of oxygen that can actually damage DNA. There's imbalanced metabolism, which effectively means that you eat stuff all the time, right? To get nutrients.
I do, yeah.
And to get energy.
I'm self-employed.
Most days.
So, basically, your cells need to adapt to how many nutrients are available. And if there's an imbalance with how your body is able to sense and basically detect these nutrients and process them, then that causes issues. Because if your body is if your body thinks it's sensing 10 units of nutrient, but actually there's only 5, then you gotta start using more energy than you should to try and basically if there's a mismatch there, your body's not gonna be happy with it. And as you age, your body's less good at detecting how much glucose and fat is in the body.
Of course.
So some fats and sugars don't get properly processed. So effectively, it's oh, there's not much fat and sugar here. That's fine. And then all the fat and sugar's just sitting there what do we do now?
I'm right here, man. So how do you mitigate that?
We don't really, do we?
Oh.
I mean, it's kind That's of fun. Why a lot of older people tend to get diabetes.
Yeah.
Because diabetes can be caused by not detecting glucose properly.
Yeah.
So there is that. I mean, how do you stop it? I don't actually know. Otherwise, I'd be immortal.
I just mean, is there a thing that we're currently... obviously, we haven't stopped it yet, but are there things that you can do in the same way you can eat healthily or you can... eat antioxidants
absolutely eating healthily will help this in the same the way that you try and prevent the ways that you try and prevent diabetes are effectively the ways you try and prevent this because if you're and also don't have anything that's got artificial sweeteners in it don't do that it's so bad for
it confuses your body
so you taste something sweet and your body's like sugar's coming can't wait gonna get all digesty on that and then and then your Coke Zero hits your stomach and your body's like what am I doing with this? I can't digest this.
Sugar.
Yeah.
And so
what is this?
Your body, basically what happens is you're like, oh yeah. Your body becomes less attuned to tasting something sweet, getting ready to digest it because you're tricking it all the time. It's like the boy who cried wolf.
I'm super lucky in that I was allergic to artificial sweeteners growing up. And so I've never, I never really had a lot of things that have artificial sweeteners in them. And I haven't checked if I'm not allergic anymore. But I just assume I am because I kind of don't want to not be. Because it's a better way, it's a healthier way for me to live.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not have that crap in my
it's
body.
It's kind of a good thing to be allergic to.
Exactly. So I'm sometimes people are like, are you actually allergic to that? I've never heard of that. And I'm like, honestly, I don't care the answer to that question. I'm not eating it.
You can be allergic to literally anything.
Yeah.
Some people are allergic to oxygen.
Well, I thought allergies are usually protein based, aren't they?
Which, yeah, they usually are.
Is not artificial sweeteners are not protein based. But whatever, I don't care what the answer is. I'm just not going to drink Coke Zero.
Yeah. I mean, anything can irritate your body, can't it?
Like you.
Whoa.
I knew he was about to say exactly the same thing about me, so I thought I'd get in there first.
I wasn't. There's also stem cell exhaustion. So basically, you know what stem cells are. They're the cells that make other cells. So they're kind of cells that don't really have a job to
they're
do
not
yet.
Activated yet.
Yeah, so they don't have a job
they
don't
have
to
have their instructions.
Yet. So they just kind of, their job is to turn into cells that do have a job.
Yeah.
So
like me in a few years. Employed.
You're a stem cell. You don't have a job yet.
I'm just kidding. I'm going to keep being a YouTuber. Yeah.
You had a job for like 4 hours, didn't you?
I worked in a VFX house once.
4 hours is generous.
So I'll have you know, I worked in a VFX house once. That was a job.
Was it not an unpaid internship?
Yeah.
That's not a job.
I had a job to do.
You were the highest paid bar worker for 4 hours.
Yes, I was.
4 hours is generous.
I was. Yeah. Bar worker yes, is I also was. Generous.
Taking food to bliss.
And buying people their drinks.
Yeah. I bought lots of people drinks. It was very nice.
Giving people a lot of foam on their beer.
Yes.
So stem cells have the ability to become almost any other type of cell in the body. Generally, as an adult, you don't have stem cells that you would have as a child. As a child, your stem cells can become, I say as a child, in fetuses, your stem cells can become any body cell because they've just not differentiated yet. Whereas as an adult, flexible. You've got stem cells for, say, like your skin. So they produce more skin cells. Yeah?
Yeah.
So the stem cells you've got as an adult are kind of, can only turn into a certain type of cell.
They're like half specialized.
Yeah, they're already a little bit
they're
specialized.
They're not completely able to do anything.
Yeah, they're not really able to do anything other than become an.
They're like
a new
departments.
Type of cell.
They're like, I'm in the skin department. I don't know what I'm doing there yet, but I can't go to any other department.
I have to stay in this department.
Yeah, it's like a little intern, isn't it?
Like a little intern.
They'll maybe do a job one day, but.
I'm just going to float around here for a bit. If anyone needs me to do anything, let me know.
I'm feeling very attacked, guys.
Oh my god! I wasn't. Yeah, you're the equivalent of like a stem cell that just left the body and continued to do. And the last one is cell communication deteriorating. So, obviously, for your body to work,
just don't communicate with me anymore.
Exactly.
Don't get on.
Exactly. No, but for your body to work, you've got to have all your cells communicating, because otherwise, it's just a big old mass of
get
stuff.
Little iPhones. I message each other.
Very tiny little
message.
Anyone got any glucose? Any vitamin D? I'm low. That's what trees do. Trees are really cute.
But they text each other.
No, but they... So trees, when you have like old trees who can't like make all the nutrients they need anymore, or say, for example, a tree gets chopped down and it's just a stump.
Really?
All the other trees like look after the trees that can't... It's lovely. It's like having a pension. Like old trees who can't do anything, like the young trees will like look after the old ones. They'll share nutrients.
So are you sure this is separate trees and it's not?
Yes, this is like
clones of trees.
No, this is separate trees.
Wow, wow.
In nature. Yeah.
Interesting.
Isn't that absolutely lovely?
Some trees actually instead of dying, they live for a long time, and what they do is they just kind of clone themselves. So you could see like a lot of trees around each other.
Yeah.
That are basically
heard this.
The one tree just kind of connected through a root
system. Through a root system, and it's like different branches off of the
that's
same
tree. That's the biggest organism in the world, isn't it? There's
A massive tree.
Wow.
And that's the thing. That's why plants are basically can be more immortal than people or other animals. What they do is when they grow, they can let some cells die whilst letting new cells kind of come in and take their place.
Yeah.
You don't have like your fingers falling off to be replaced by new fingers.
Sure.
But that's effectively what happens.
You guys don't
with trees.
Have that?
Luke, you should see a doctor.
I shouldn't. I've got a superpower, man. I'm not going to go near a doctor. They'll do experiments on me.
Arm fall off, boy. Your arm falls off and a new one grows.
You should work in branding.
If it's cut off.
I'm not. That's actually a DC superhero. Look him up.
Arm fall off, boy.
Arm fall off, boy. I promise you. I will look it up now. Right now.
I don't need you to.
I'm doing it.
Arm fall off, boy.
What?
Hang on, what's he saying? He's arm fall off, boy. My power will astound you. Observe as I detach my limb. And then he pulls his limb off, and his limb, the sound his limb makes is Plorp. P-L-O-R-P.
His arm looks like a lemon. Looks like the inside of a lemon.
He's just wearing really long gloves.
Plorp.
Yeah.
With little nubs on.
For some little reason. Nubs.
Plorp.
So obviously, if your cells can't communicate, your immune system doesn't work properly, for one thing. So it can't get rid of pathogens, and it can't get rid of senescent or zombie cells. So it can also cause cancer or cause more cells to become zombie cells. Effectively, all of your cells need to be talking to each other for them to work together properly. It's like trying to run an office where no one is allowed to communicate. So, yeah, can we stop death?
No.
Well,
no. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, but we can slow it down.
Not yet. No, we can't, but we're working on it.
Well,
we're working on it.
We can potentially slow it down in about 20 years.
But still no.
I'm saying
no.
I'm guessing
20 years.
No, still no.
You don't know.
Because, like, I mean...
We can reverse the effects of aging.
But yeah. What if you, like, get, like... Your body explodes. Like, what if you get, like, set on fire? Like, obviously, like, you can fix things and you get better at fixing things, but at some point, there's a point of no return when, like, all of your constituent parts are separate.
Yeah, look, my point is that stopping death in this case is stopping natural death, not stopping accident or injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know. Actually, I guess you could stop it if everyone lived in a little bubble.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
What if the bubble collapsed?
It can't collapse.
It's a bubble.
It's made from uncollapsible bubble material. Elon Musk is bringing it out next year. The next big thing.
Yeah.
It's made out of the same stuff as his Tesla windows, you know? That stuff is impenetrable.
Do you guys actually want to live forever?
No.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Lord, no.
Just checking. I thought it was the only one.
No. I don't want to live forever.
Like, this sounds horrible.
That'd be awful.
Yeah.
Living forever just... exponentially increases your chance of getting stuck at the bottom of a well.
Yeah.
I'd be so bored.
There's a story of this kamikaze pirate.
Pirate.
No, less interesting story. Kamikaze pilot who was like going to do his kamikaze. And he wasn't somebody who like, he wasn't like depressed in life. He wasn't like wanting to die for any reason. But he was going to do his kamikaze because that's like what they're taught is like the honorable way to die. And he said that he had this overwhelming feeling of like, bliss and peace wash over him. He didn't actually die in the end because of some other reason. I think he missed or something.
Not really a kamikaze pilot, then, is he?
You know what I mean?
It's quite bad, isn't he?
He's just a pilot.
And the feeling he described it as is like a moment where he went, ah, oh, finally there'll be nothing to do. Because life is kind of like
true.
Just, oh, yeah. What have I got to do now? Obviously, you have moments of enjoying
the next
it.
Thing,
but it's
the
like,
thing.
What have I got to do? Oh, I've got to do this now. I've got to do this now.
Yeah.
And so, like.
That's why sleep is nice.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of death.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Just a touch.
A treat. A little taste of it.
So what progress are we making to do this?
So,
and tell us about these jellyfish now.
The jellyfish is literally the next section.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Ruined it again.
No, so right now what we're doing, we're trying to reverse errors in gene expression, which stops neurological effects of aging in mice. So they have better memory. So obviously if we try and reverse that, that can stop aging. If we try and improve the mechanism that repairs DNA, then we have less faulty DNA, which would delay aging. Increasing telomerase, which I've said, would decrease aging. And there's also these drugs now called senolytics, which effectively reduce senescent cells, so can stop those zombie cells from forming, which apparently can... Like they've been using in the elderly to treat age-related diseases.
Oh, nice.
So it's something, aging is something we're looking to try and, like, you know, stamp out. Kind of like in that film, In Time. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that.
It's a fantastic film. It's got a...
Is it Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake, yeah.
I watched the trailer and I was like, I'm not going to watch that.
It's terrible. But it's, it's really fun. there was this study published in Nature... where scientists were able to reduce...
Technically, every study is published in Nature.
There was a study
so
published...
printed it out and left it in a forest somewhere.
There was a study published in Nature, the journal.
Yes.
Which... I said the journal, didn't I? Didn't
no,
I?
You didn't. No,
okay,
yeah.
Fine. There was a study published in Nature, the journal, in which scientists were able to reverse wrinkles in mice by restoring mitochondrial function.
Get an iron. Ooh, we reversed the wrinkles in mice.
Also, he's so slim now. Look at you.
You have lost so much weight.
Honey, I asked you to
but
iron
only
the mice
from one side.
Sorry, what did the study in Nature say?
They were able to reverse wrinkles in mice.
Ah.
Actually, speaking of reversing wrinkles, did you hear this story of...
did they put on that, like...
Botox.
Olay wrinkle cream just onto a mouse?
That's it. That's
the groundbreaking technology we all need.
Scientists were watching a daytime TV one
day. How have Olay done it?
Why have we not done this to a mouse yet?
So there was this doctor who works with trans people, and basically what he did was he used tiny doses of estrogen mixed in with kind of face moisturizer to reduce wrinkles on his face, because that's something that you can do. A topical application of estrogen can reduce wrinkles.
Wow.
Whoa.
I mean, a tiny, tiny amount. What he did was he decided to try and use a different type of estrogen, I think, and then he was working out the dose, so he sent that off, and he slipped the value by about, I think, 10 times or so, or maybe 100 times. And the applicator that he was using, he usually would use like one pump, but in this case, the one pump was way more. It was like a bigger amount. He was like,
and he grew breasts on his face.
Well, no, he was like, oh well, I guess I'll just use this anyway. Slapped it on his face without realizing that he was using a massive dose, and then ran out of face cream. So did the same thing again the next day.
And what happened to him?
And he was fine. It was only a small dose of estrogen. And he said he went to sleep that night, had a dream that he'd grown breasts, and for the next few days, because his levels were so off, was like feeling terrified of basically going through female puberty.
Hang on, so did he have the dream where he grew breasts before he realized that he got the dose wrong?
I'm not sure. I think he realized he got the dose wrong and then had the dream.
That'd be mad if like,
and then started stressing out.
He put some estrogen in his face and suddenly started having like dreams about being a female.
Yeah,
that would be weird. No, but basically what he did is he messed up the dose and gave himself a massive, a pretty large dose of estrogen and then freaked out for a few days. Apparently he was a cis person that was feeling dysphoria because...
the very first.
The very first.
And the only.
Yeah. So make sure you measure your estrogen properly, I guess. Luke.
Men.
I will.
Yeah, so moving on from human aging to jellyfish. Have you heard of the immortal jellyfish?
Jellyfish?
The immortal jellyfish.
The immortal jellyfish, yes.
Is it just one?
One
species.
It's one species. But actually, there's more than one species.
I have a vague memory of hearing about jellyfish that live for a long time.
Yeah, about half an hour ago when I said it.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, so there's this guy called Christian Summer.
Is that the name of the jellyfish?
Bloop, bloop. I am Christian.
I'm Christian.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Nice to meet you.
You wouldn't want to shake their hand. Tentacle. Oh, no. So, Christian Summer is a German marine biology student, or he was.
They let jellyfish study marine biology.
Well, they'd probably be very good at it.
True.
They don't have a brain, Curry.
True. Neither do most marine biology students.
Well, our viewership's just gone down.
Okay, marine biology is a very serious degree.
I think it is.
No, it is.
Yes. Very important.
It is. I mean...
Maybe I'll do that.
I wanted to be a marine...
Oh, you did want to be a marine...
I wanted to be a marine...
What's happened to you guys? You okay?
I want...
Have you heard of the jellyfish?
So, effectively, he was doing some research on hydrozoans, which are small invertebrates, which, depending on their stage in the life cycle, are either like a jellyfish or like a soft coral. Mm.
Hang on. They transform.
Yeah, there's like lots of things transform.
Transformers.
I didn't know jellyfish came from another thing, though.
Well, not all jellyfish. This is just hydrozoans. So they either resemble a jellyfish at one point in life or like a soft piece of coral.
That is amazing.
Weird.
In the same way that a tadpole at some point in its life either resembles like a little swimmy leech or a frog.
A frog. Ribbit. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Ribbit.
Things change. People are different.
Yes.
Tadpoles have legs now.
You were a tadpole once.
I literally wasn't.
You were a little spermy boy.
It's not a tadpole.
It looks like a tadpole.
It's much, much smaller and white.
And white.
Wow.
So he was snorkeling off the cliffs of Portofino in the Mediterranean. And basically he found this small species, which biologists knew. It was called Turritopsis dorni. Not going to try that one again.
Nope, let's roll with it.
Let's roll with it. So now we call it the immortal jellyfish, which is much easier to say.
Oh yeah.
So he was keeping his jellyfish, as you recall, Christian Sommer was keeping his jellyfish in petri dishes. And after watching it for a few days, he noticed that it was behaving very oddly. It just wasn't dying.
Oh.
Like you'd expect it to die, and it wasn't. What it was doing was aging in reverse, or so it seemed. Effectively, it was getting younger and younger until it got to its earliest stage of development, which is a little polyp.
Benjamin Button.
Yes, much like Benjamin. Well, no. Benjamin Button looks like he's getting younger, but then he dies.
True.
Yeah. It's like swinging.
How did he come out?
I'm gay.
Mom, Dad, I'm...
Damn it.
I have only seen the start of that film, and he did come out as like a wrinkly old baby. But like, it's not too different from... You know, most babies.
Lovely.
Yeah. Just had arthritis. Summer was, and this was back in when was this? The 1980s, I think. So this was quite a while ago, a few decades ago. So some biologists were quite interested in what Summer had found and kept on studying the species and published a paper called Reversing the Life Cycle in 1996, which described how the species at any stage of development could just go back into a polyp, its earliest form of life. Yeah, so it basically could just avoid dying from old age. So the only thing that can kill it effectively is if it gets a disease or if something else eats it. Which means that if we were to do this, the only thing that could kill us would really be disease.
Or being eaten.
Well, not much eats us, does it?
Alligator.
We could be killed.
Just avoid alligators.
To be fair, if you... fix death, if you stop death and you create immortality, the percentage of people who'll die by being eaten by alligators will rise.
Well,
this is true.
Of the total number of deaths, more will be due to alligator eating. Is that a world you want to live in? I don't.
Oh, I don't think so. What have you brought upon us?
No, what I would do is, one, ban all alligators, and two, invest in condoms.
What?
Invest in contraception. If you invent immortality, you are investing in...
Over the mouth of the alligator.
What? No.
Yes. All alligators must wear a condom over their jaws.
Then there'll be a zero child policy.
Yeah, that's my point. So people are still going to have sex, but they don't want to have a kid because... Yeah.
I just think that's so arrogant. Let someone else be alive.
It's just selfish. Keeping all the life to yourself. Yeah. Give it to a baby.
Yeah, what? So stupid.
No, but really, if you are someone that's working on immortality... Put all your money into condoms right now. It's a smart thing to do.
The thing I find so frustrating about it is that, like, so, like, you, Corey, or me, or James, or, like, any other person, we're, like, 99.9% the same thing from a genetic perspective, and 0.01 or whatever it is, not the same thing. And the purpose of life is to, like, continue on being alive. It's not for you individually to be alive forever. It's... for life to continue and to evolve.
I think clearly by this jellyfish existing, the point of life is just to have life exist. It doesn't matter how it exists. It's just the whole point of life is let's stop things from not existing. It doesn't, I mean, look at trees. It doesn't matter what form it takes. Like, trees will clone themselves and be like, yes, I'm doing good. You know?
So, the fuck I want.
However you continue life
fair enough.
Is a good way to continue life. Not from a moral standpoint, just from like a...
Sure, yeah.
So, effectively, we don't really know how the jellyfish does this. We do know that, effectively, when it's under stress or something's like trying to attack it, it will undergo cellular transdifferentiation, which basically means that one type of cell will turn into another type of cell. So, like a skin cell into a nerve cell, or like a cell in your eye into, I don't know,
An arm cell.
Yeah, that's just
stingy cell.
I don't think an arm cell is a thing, but yeah, sure. Your arm is made up of entirely one cell. So it basically just gets into being a little baby from being a full grown adult, which is kind of insane. And the immortal jellyfish has spread throughout the world's oceans over the past few decades. So originally it was just in the Mediterranean, but it's like effectively hitchhiked on cargo ships and just spread throughout the world. So you can find it in Panama, Spain, Florida, and Japan now.
Pretty invasive.
Yeah, I mean, and they can just stick around forever as well. Like,
colonizer.
Effectively, even if like, you know, most things end up dying, this jellyfish will probably keep on trucking. You know?
Just turn into a... And the, well, those little things.
Cockroaches.
Cockroaches, yeah.
Cockroaches and those jellyfish. They'll start a land sea war.
The apex predator.
Yeah, but like I said, we just don't know how it ages in reverse. And there's a few reasons for that. But I think the main reason is due to something called Small's Rule, in which small-bodied organisms are poorly studied relative to larger-bodied organisms. You've got more people that are specialists on crabs than you do who are specialists on tiny little jellyfish.
Yeah, true.
Which is
silly. Tiny things aren't interesting.
Tiny things are more interesting.
On the face of it.
Because you can't see them.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep losing them.
Yeah, where'd it go?
Damn it, yeah. Start again.
Are any of the problems we have with immortality going to be solved using nanotechnology?
Could be.
Because I love that as an area of study where you have like little robots, like really tiny robots.
Yeah, I mean, that is a potential. If you've got tiny little, it depends how small you can make a robot. But ultimately, if you can make nanotechnology small enough to affect DNA and manipulate DNA, then you can reverse aging in that way.
Because I feel like especially with something like the coronavirus coming up at the moment, if we had something like a piece of technology, like a little structure that could sense on that level of reality, on that tiny level, and could identify where a coronavirus virus is and just like snip it up, then great. And we will, that's something you have to create rather than something you have to that will evolve on its own, because things like the coronavirus or like us or our genomes on that level they're not evolving to exist, they're evolving to replicate themselves. Mm-hmm. They're like replicating machines. And so but we know things can be made on that level because the coronavirus is very good at messing us up. So if we could create some kind of structure that acts in a way that we would consider like a robot, but it's actually just following very basic instructions, that'd be really cool.
Yeah, like basically like a tiny little virus that does the work for you.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, yeah, you can do that. You're just creating an artificial or man-made immune system to do all the work for you.
Yeah.
So that's the immortal jellyfish. But as for the future of immortality, there's also brain downloads. So what people are working on right now is downloading your brain into a computer and doing it that way. Right now, we're basically at the point where it's just a lot of questions and quizzes. Yeah. And there's also something I want to do another episode on at some point about this woman who effectively, her friend died, and she used all of the text that she got from him to make
weird.
A chatbot. That you can speak to.
You can do that with Twitter now. You can get things to carry on tweeting for you.
Yeah, not a fan. Although I want my shitpost to go on beyond the grave. So, you know.
Set up just before you die.
Yeah, I might do. You know, it's not too hard.
Carry on.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably going to be better than whatever I tweet, isn't it? But yeah, no. So that is immortality. There are lots of ways that we're working on it. Kind of try to copy that jellyfish, reversing aging, and using computers to do it. And all of them are kind of viable options, but we don't really know which one is going to be the main one right now.
Yeah.
What's your bet on? What's your goal? Which one do you want?
I really think the computer one is not a viable option.
Really?
In that it will create...
It just sounds so science fiction.
Well, it will create a immortal copy of you, a good estimation of you and your reactions to things, but there's no certainty that your conscious experience will flow into that.
But in terms of someone experiencing interaction with you,
immortality of other people's experience. But that's not why you wouldn't create immortality in order that other people can experience you. You'd create it so that you can continue to experience.
I think some people would do it so that other people could continue to experience them. Definitely, and yeah, obviously,
but
it's immortality.
It's not them.
It's immortality, but in a different way. In that it's not an immortality of the self.
Sure.
It's an immortality of other people's experience of you.
But it would be lame because you'd know it's not there.
It would be quite lame.
Well, you wouldn't.
It doesn't matter how...
No, but the point is that they're working on effectively... that what they've done is they've got this really cool kind of technology where they can take images of someone's face and then create a real-time kind of manipulation of someone's face moving in multiple different ways. So effectively what you can do is have someone appear to speak. Like a digital version of someone's face appear to speak, and all you'd need to do is get their voice somehow.
No, I understand that.
So it would be like speaking to an actual
person.
Yeah,
but they would know that it's fake.
Yeah, but then the Turing test, it's like Ex Machina, isn't it? Wherein you know something's fake, but it's so realistic to the point that it convinces you that it's real.
Yes. But that to me is really, really sad.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I mean, to be honest, I think that option is a little bit like, oh. But
it's like a really fancy chatbot.
It is a really fancy chatbot, but it's helpful to some people, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be helpful in very specific situations, like if you lost a loved one, that could guide you through the grieving process and feel like you are able to let that person go. Mm. But if it became a replacement for the person who's now dead, that is a horrible dystopia.
Yeah. I mean, there's an episode of Black Mirror entirely
is
on
there?
It.
Yeah. Is there? Okay.
Be right back. Got Donald Gleason and can't remember her name in it.
Yeah.
Emily.
Blunt.
No.
No.
Sandy.
Amelia Clark.
Ah, yes. It.
Yeah. But that is that. That is the show for you guys. Thank you very much. And thank you to Natalia for suggesting this episode on Patreon. If you want to suggest episodes, head over to patreon.com and chuck in a buck.
Thank you, Natalia.
Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description down below. You can find and contact us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at SciGuysPod. You can follow us on, you can help us on Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys. I'm not Corey everywhere.
I'm Luke Cutford.
And I'm Duncan everywhere.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.